Good morning, everybody. I think that it has already become tradition that on Yom Yerushalayim, or the class closest to Yom Yerushalayim, I dedicate the class precisely to this great day in Jewish history. Of course, we are going to look at it through the eyes of Tanakh and Chazal. Im Yetzer Hashem, after Shavuos, we will get back to our regular study of Sefer Shmuel. We are coming to extremely important things, but we'll leave that until after Shavuos. In part, I'm going to repeat remarks that I said last night in my shul in Har Nof. We had the central celebration in Har Nof of Yom Yerushalayim, and that was, of course, Bivrit. And some of the people who are here wanted to hear it in English, so I'm going to do it in English as well. I want to begin with a fascinating Gemara. And the Gemara really deals with one word in Yeshayahu. The one word in Yeshayahu appears in chapter 54. 54 of Yeshayahu. In a moment you will see how famous chapter 54 is. I believe that it is the Haftorah for Parshat Re'eh. Aniyos so'ara lo nuchoma. Chapter 54 of Yeshayahu. The Navi describes the Jewish people as aniyah so'ara. She is a aniyah, afflicted, so'ara, tempestuous, tormented. That's what the Jewish people are. That's what Yerushalayim is. Lo nuchama, and she refuses to be comforted. We can't comfort her. Says God, Hinei Onochi Marbitz Bapuch Avonayach. Behold, I will set thy stones in fair colors. Marbitz means to lie down the stones. Have you ever seen how they put balatos out in this country? I never understood the pasuk until I came to Eretz Yisrael. Have you ever seen how they put out balatos? What do they do before they put out balatot? You put out sand. And then onto the sand you put the balatot. Sort of the balatot are, they lie in the sand. Marbitz means you make something to lie down. Didn't David HaMelech say that in famous chapter 23 of Tehillim? The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh Mizbaladam Hashem Ro'i Lo Echso Bin Ozdeshe Yarbitzeni. He maketh me lie down beside the green waters, the still pastures. Laharbitz is to lie something down. Marbitz Bapuch Avonayach. Yeshayahu says, I am going to set your stones. The stones of the city are going to be very special. V'yesadetir basapirim, your foundations are going to be sapphires. He's going to continue to describe the Yerushalayim that is going to be built in time to come, that it's not going to be constructed from simple stone and brick, but it's going to be constructed from precious stones, jewels, emeralds, rubies. Jews was not a bad mistake over there, because the fact is the material with which God builds Yerushalayim is with Jews. We say it in davening, Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem Nidchei Yisrael Yechanez. God builds Yerushalayim. How? By gathering in the dispersed of Israel. The real material from which Yerushalayim is going to be built is the human stuff that makes this city, which is Nidchei Yisrael. But the city is going to also be emblazoned, beautified, adorned with precious stones. The next pasuk in chapter 54 of Yeshayahu, pasuk 12, V'samti kadkod shim shaltayach. Your towers are going to be inlaid with kadkod. English says it's rubies. We're going to find out what kadkod is. Usharayich, your gates are going to be avnei egdach, very precious stones. V'chol givuleich, and your entire boundary is going to be made of avnei chefetz, precious, precious stones. Says the Gemara in Masechta Bava Batra, a fascinating and mysterious Gemara. What is the kadkod? There is a stone called kadkod. What is the kadkod? Says Rab Shmuel, the son of Nachmeni, Trei Malachi Berakia, there are two angels in heaven. And who are they? Michael and Gabriel. They disagree. They have a difference of opinion with regard to the meaning of this word kadkod. And Va'amrullah, the Gemara goes on to say, there are others who say that this same difference of opinion between two angels in heaven, Gabriel and Michael, is a difference of opinion between Amoroi b'ma'arova, rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. And who are the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael? Yehuda and Chizkiya b'nei Rab Chiya. Yehuda and Chizkiya, who are the sons of Rab Chiya. So that means the Gemara is describing to us a difference of opinion that rages in heaven, and one that is also reflected as a difference of opinion between two brothers right here in Eretz Yisrael. And what is the machloket? What's the meaning of the word kadkod? And what is indeed this difference of opinion between angels and men? Chadama, one says it is shoham, and one says it is yoshvei. Those are the names of precious stones. There's shoham and there's yoshvei, and we will talk about them. What happens with this difference of opinion? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara ends by saying, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God says, Kedain u'kedain. Kedain u'kedain is Aramaic, that means like this one and like that one. Gabriel, you're right, and Michael, you're right. Yehuda, you're right. Chizkiya, you're right. Now, Kedain u'kedain in Aramaic, what are the first two letters of each one of those words? Chaf, Dalet. Chaf, Dalet. Kad, Kod, says Rashi, Kedain, Kedivrei ha'echad u'kedivrei ha'sheni. The first one is right, and the second one is right. Elu ve'elu, both of them are divrei Elokim Chaim, the words of a living God. End of Gemara. Obviously, we have to understand the Gemara. Gemara is not simply saying something that makes absolutely no sense. Well, obviously there is a message, and what we have to try and do is understand what is the message that's being told to us by this Gemara. So there are a number of steps of introduction here until we can finally get to an understanding of the machloket. The two stones, Shoham and Yoshvei, were stones that also appeared in the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. Torah says, V'hatur harvi, the fourth row of stones. The breastplate of the Kohen Gadol had 12 stones, 12 precious gems. V'hatur harvi, the Torah says in Parashat Tetzaveh, and then it's repeated again in Vayakel. V'hatur harivi, the fourth row, Tarshish, v'shoham, v'yashbel. So there also we have Shoham and Yashbel. Now, the 12 stones on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol each had the name of a tribe inscribed on it, engraved on it. Shoham was the stone of Yosef. The name Yosef was engraved on the Shoham. Yashbel was Binyamin. The Maharal says, we're still dealing with introduction. The Maharal says that one must understand that Yerushalayim da. The Maharal says, da, you should know Yerushalayim eina ir kimo shar ir. Yerushalayim is not a city like all other cities on the face of this earth. Elohi ir Elokit, it is a divine city, it's the city of God, it's the city of the divine presence. And more than that, if there was a divine presence, and we know that there was for throughout all of history, la'atid lavo, in time to come, the city is even going to be more intense and holier than it had ever been. And this is represented by the psukim in Yeshayahu that we've just learned, where Yeshayahu describes that the construction of the city is going to be with precious stones, very precious stones. The precious stones represent the divine presence. It will be even holier than it ever was. Alright, so we know that the stones represent holiness, but what kind of holiness? What's the message that's imparted by Shoham and Yashbel? Alright, so meanwhile we know already that Shoham is Yosef. What is there in Shoham that relates it to Yosef? So the Rabbeinu Bachaya says in the name Shoham you have the letters Hashem. Yosef is the one when he when the baker and the butler have dreams, and he is the one who interprets their dreams, so he makes it clear this is not his own intelligence, but it is God, Hashem, who has told him. The Pasuk tells us that the house of Potiphar in which he worked was blessed, it was Hashem who blessed the house because of Yosef. When he interprets the great dream of Paro, and Paro says, have we ever seen a man of this sort? So he says, no, it is Hashem who has answered the Paro and has sent the message to the great Pharaoh. Yosef is Yosef HaTzadik. Every step of his life he sees that he is being guided and directed by Hashem. Shoham Otiyot Hashem. The Shoham stone is pure white. Its color is white. It represents Yosef. It represents the divine presence. It talks of blessing and goodness and abundance. It represents, in a word, the idea of chesed, loving kindness. God's loving kindness shining down upon his people. That's Shoham. Shoham, Yosef, white, pure, Hashem, divine presence, divine providence. The Yashbei is Binyamin. Our rabbis in the Medrash say, why Yashbei? What does that have to do with Binyamin? So they say that Yashbei represents two words, Yesh Peh. Binyamin had a mouth. What does this mean? Medrash says that Binyamin thought many thoughts with regard to the what had happened with his brother Yosef. He was not certain. He suspected his brothers. And more than the fact that he suspected his brothers, it seems that he was able to arrive at the conclusion that the brothers had sold Yosef into slavery. He knew the information. and he controlled himself. Yesh peh, he had the mouth with which to say it, and he knew it. He controlled himself, and he didn't say it. Binyamin therefore represents gvura, strength, the ability to control, rather than burst out with the information. He knew that it is best that this be concealed from his father. You know, of course, we once learned a famous Medrash Tanchuma, where the Medrash Tanchuma says that Yehuda and the brothers made a took an oath with a ban of excommunication that nobody should tell Yaakov what had been done with Yosef. And the Medrash goes on to say that Yitzchak knew what had happened, and he didn't tell Yaakov. And Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even God himself, about whom it says, and we say it in davening, Margid Devarov LiYaakov, he tells things to Yaakov. Dovar Zeh, this he never told Yaakov. Never told Yaakov that Yosef had been sold into slavery by his brothers. Certainly for the same reason, or one of the many reasons we said a shir describing and explaining this whole medrash. But Binyamin may have been the one who had more reason than anybody else to impart this information. It's his older brother, the only one who he had in the world. Binyamin later has 10 children, and each one of the 10 children is named for an aspect of the personality of Yosef. We're talking about a Binyamin who is so closely tied to a brother, and the brother is taken away from him. Yesh peh, he had the mouth to speak, but there was greatness, there was strength that he didn't say it. The yesh peh is a medley of colors, sharp colors. Red, green, black, different than the Shoham. The Yoshpe represents Malchut, Gvura, Din, law, strength, determination. There's something harsh and strong about it in comparison to the softness and the delicateness of the Shoham. All right? We have a number of twos so far. Keep track. Two Malachim, Michael and Gabriel, two Amoraim, Yehuda and Chizkiah, two stones, Shoam and Yoshpe, two tribes, Yosef and Binyamin, representing two aspects of personality, Chesed and Din, mercy and law. Michael and Gabriel, what's the difference between Michael and Gabriel? What does Michael represent? What does Gabriel represent? Michael is Soro Shelmayim. He is the prince of water. Gabriel Sar Shel Eish. Gavriel is the prince of fire. You see already the difference. One is Chesed, and the other is Din, water and fire. Who is the one that comes to tell Sarah that she is finally going to be blessed with a child? That's Michael. Who is the one that goes off to destroy Sodom and Amorah? That's Gavriel. So there's something about Michael that bespeaks the concept of chesed, of kindness, of mercy, of compassion, of goodness. And there is the personality of Gavriel, so to speak, which is law, judgment, din, punishment, malchut. What happens over here is that each one sees the Yerushalayim of the future through their own personality, so to speak. A malach is a personality formed by God. Yehuda and Chizkiah most probably are also speaking out of the depths of their own personality. What is Yerushalayim going to look like in time to come? Will it be the Ir HaChesed, the city of kindness, or is it going to be the city of Din, where the law and the judgment of God reigns supreme? The fact is that the Maral says that even amongst Gedolei Yisrael, there were always those who had different bents and different inclinations. There were those whose character and personality was of a softer nature, a Yosef kind of nature, a Chesed. And then there were the others who made demands upon themselves and all around them, the personalities of Din, of Gevura, strength, Malchus, something royal in their bearing. What kind of a city is Yerushalayim going to be like? Michael sees it one way, Gabriel another. Yehuda and Chizkiah see it in different ways. Who is the one that ultimately decides what Yerushalayim is going to be? Who is the one that tells us what it's going to be? God finally is the one who emerges and he says, Michael, you're right. Gabriel, you're right. Yehuda and Chizkiah, you're all right. Because Yerushalayim is going to be a composite, a harmonious blending of Chesed, loving kindness, and Din, Mishpat, law. There are two aspects to the nature of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is not a homogeneous city. It represents all sorts of ideas in Judaism. For that matter, Yerushalayim, by its very nature, there are two faces to Yerushalayim, there are two dimensions to Yerushalayim. Because Yerushalayim in and of itself always represents the idea of duality. Where does it all flow from? It flows, first of all, from the name itself, the very famous medrash that says, how did this city receive its name? Says the medrash, it is God who called this city Yerushalayim. And what is the name of the city? The city originally was called Shalem. It says in Parashat Lech Lecha, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. Malki Tzedek, the king of Shalem, came out and he brought bread and wine to Avram when Avram returns from his great struggle against the four kings. Comes back victorious, the king of peace comes out with bread and wine. Baruch Avram, blessed is Avram, Lekel Elyon, to the Almighty God. Avram, in Parshat Vayera, Avram brings Yitzchak to Hara Moriah on the Akedah, and what does he call the name of this place? Hashem Yireh, that God should see and God should be seen. Asher Ye'omer Hayom, that it should be said today. Bahar Hashem Yireh, on that mountain God sees and God is seen. Avram describes and calls the place where God appears to the world and where God sees the world. Says the Medrash, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said God, Im ani kore ota, if I'm going to call this city Shalem, as Malki Tzedek, who was Shem, the son of Noah, the name that he gave to this city, Avraham, Adam Tzedek, Avraham, who's a righteous man, Mitraim, he's going to be upset. Why do I choose the name given by Shem over the name given by Avraham? V'imani koreotan, if I'm going to call the city Yireh, as Avraham called it, so Shem Adam Tzadik, Shem who is a righteous man, Mitraim, is going to be upset. Lachem, therefore, ani koreota, I call the city Yerushalem or Yerushalayim. So what happened over here? What's significant about this medrash is, first of all, it's similar to our Gemara. There's Shem who calls it Shalem, Avram who calls it Yireh. What is God saying? Shem, you're right. Avram, you're right. Kedain u'kedain, like this one and like that one. But let's take a closer look at the name. And what is the difference between Shem, the son of Noach, and Avram? taking a closer look at the name, so wait a minute. Avraham called the name of the place Yireh, and God made it Yeru. So the Mepharshim, of course, say Aleph Hey of Yireh equals what? It equals 6. So God made a Vav instead of an Aleph and a Hey. One could ask another question. Shem gave the city a name Shalem, not Sholayim. So there's a Tosfos in the Masechta Tainis that says the following: Yerushalayim is spelled without a yud between the lamed and the last mem. It's spelled Jerusalem. It's not spelled Jerusalayim or Yerushalayim. Despite the fact that there's no yud, we read it as though there would be a yud. So says Tosfos, why do we write it without a yud? In order not to tamper with the name that was given to it by Shem. Shem called it Shalem. That's what we call it. It seems, of course, that maybe God assumed that he can work things out better with Avraham than with Shem, because he did tamper slightly with the name that was given to it by Avraham. From Yireh, he turned it into Yeru. But Shem, the name is Shalem, so it is written Shalem, but it is read Yerushalayim, as though there would be a Yud there. You may, of course, recall, you said a shir in Parashat, in Sefer Yehoshua, that the name Yerushalayim appears 256 times in Tanakh, and in the 256 times that it appears, all except 5 are without a Yud. It appears with a Yud only 5 times in all of Tanakh. 2 of them are in Divrei Hayamim. I think there's one in Yirmiyahu. The only one that I remember precisely the pasuk, and that's the one in Megillat Esther, Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Havira Ushmo Mordechai Ben Yoy Ben Shimi Ben Kish Ish Yemini Asher Heglo Im Hagola Asher Haglusa Asher Haglo Im Hagola Asher Haglusa Asher Heglon. It says Yerushalayim in the pasuk. Believe me. Asher Heglon Yerushalayim, who was brought into exile from Yerushalayim. There Yerushalayim is written with a yud. Lamed Shin Lamed Yud Mem. So that means we now see more duality of the city. This a name given by Shem, a name given by Avraham, and we see God again acting as the one who makes the compromise. You're both right. You're both right. Precisely what we're going to say. So there's no yud, but we read it as though there would be a yud. What's the significance of Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is the classic ending for anything that is a plural. Yad, Yadayim. Ayin, Einayim. Regel, Raglayim. Whenever you have the Ayin ending, it represents a plural. Double, two. Well, the name is a composite of two names. But more than that, why indeed did Shem give the city the name Shalem and Avraham gave the city the name Yireh? Says Reb Meir Simcha HaKayim Yitvins, the Ur Sameach at the end of Meshech Chochma, at the end of Parshat Va'ere, he says the following: Avraham and Shem, or better said, Shem and Avraham. And the order, please remind me, I shouldn't forget to explain the order. Shem, of course, comes before Avraham. Each one faced a different challenge in their lifetime. There was a challenge or a global problem that Shem had to address and had to deal with. And there was a problem of a completely different nature that Avraham, in his time, had to deal with, had to grapple with. Shem lives in a world that has become perverted. Ki hishit kol basar et darko al ha'aretz. The relationship between man and man, between man and the animal kingdom, in the animal kingdom itself, perversion. The relationships are destroyed. A world that has become full of violence. Violence to the point where God decides that there is no other way to save this world but to destroy it and start anew. So we're talking about people whose character and personality eroded, eaten away, destroyed. Shem's challenge and his task, that which he must undertake, is to rebuild the character and the personality of the human being. That process begins for him by spending more than a year in the Teva, where he, together with the other members of his family, have to provide for and take care of whatever remains of animal kind in this world. They have to learn to live together as a family, and he has to learn to appreciate every creature created by God. It is going through a year of this kind of process, he learns the infinite value of God's creatures. When he emerges from the Teva, it becomes his responsibility to attempt to re-educate mankind to shleimut, a complete personality, to do something about character, about personality, about conduct. And therefore, he calls this city Shalem, because this is the task that he has in life. To do something about human personality, to rebuild it, to heal it. Avraham Avinu has a completely different challenge. Avraham Avinu was faced with a completely different problem. And here I refer you to the Rambam in the Yad HaChazak at the beginning of Hilchot Avodah Zarah that we discussed also a number of times, a very famous Rambam, where the Rambam describes the world into which Avraham Avinu is born. A world that from the days of Enosh, man began to make a terrible mistake. What was the mistake that man made in the days of Enosh? He thought that since all of the heavenly bodies serve God, I can show respect and reverence for God by showing respect and reverence to all of the heavenly bodies. Until with the passage of time, man forgot God and he began to build temples to the sun and to the moon and to the stars. And as generation after generation passed, the very name of God was lost from the face of this earth until this mighty one was born. And he was born into a society, into a civilization, into a world, into a family that worshipped idols, and he worshipped with them. Don't we say it in the Haggadah Mitchila, Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Hayu Avotenu? Our fathers were idol worshippers. But Avraham, from his very youth, began to doubt and to question, and he, until by age 40, he arrived at a conclusion, Yesh Manhig L'Birazu, there is a creator. There's somebody who created this world. There is a one God. Avraham Avinu was born into a world that had gone wrong intellectually. Shem was dealing with a world that had become perverted morally. Their character and personality had been destroyed. He had to try and rebuild the character of man to make him shalem. Avram has a different task. His task is to remind a world, or to teach a world, that there is a God who sees and can be seen if you're just going to look. The great message of Avraham is the message of a one God. That's what Avraham Avinu did for this world. Every historian will tell you that this was the great message. Therefore, he gives the name of this place. He calls it Hashem Yireh. God is seen, God will see, shall be seen from this mountain. I think the order of the name that God gave it, God does not need my approval, but if we're concerned, Tosis says that we don't put a yud into the name Yerushalayim, so not to tamper with the name that was given to it by shame. And then, of course, I pointed out that there was a little tampering with Avram's name, because Avram gave it the name Yireh, and the Yireh became Yeru. But maybe what's more important than anything else is, isn't God concerned that shame is going to be upset that the name is Yerushalayim, which puts Avram's name before Shem's name? Which one came first, in fact? Shalem came before Yireh. God should have named the city. What should he have named the city? You can't even say it, huh? Okay, Shalem Yeru. How long do you think it would take for us to get used to Shalem Yeru? Would be no problem whatsoever. So why didn't he call it first the name given to it by shame? I think it was extremely important what God is saying when he gives the name Yerushalayim. He is saying that while Shem wanted to correct and heal the personality of man, that cannot be done with man unless man believes in God. The only path that man has to building of character and personality, to proper conduct in this world, all ethics and all morality is rooted in belief in God. If there is no God, if that's what man believes, there's absolutely no reason for him to be good. There is no such thing as an ethical kind of humanity. It can't last. It can't exist. Man without God will ultimately become animal. God therefore says, no, Shem, I'm sorry, you're going to be upset, but I want to tell you the truth. Yireh Shalem. The one who believes in the God of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov is the one who will ultimately be able to come to Shlemus. V'olam Moshiim b'Har Tzion lishpot et Haresav, when God will appear on Har Tzion, v'hoy Hashem l'melech al kol haaretz, when God will be king upon the entire earth, then there will be the ultimate completion and the fulfillment of the personality and the character of man. Yireh comes first and Shalem is second. So here we're talking about a city, Yerushalayim, the duality, the plural, the double. So now we have what do we have? We have Avraham and Shem, a name that's made up of two parts. We have Gavriel and Michael, and by the way, Gavriel and Michael are also important from another point of view. Why are they the ones who disagree as to what Kat Kod means, whether it's Shoham or Yoshpei? Because the Gemara also says, Al Chomotayef Yerushalayim Hifkadeti Shomrim. Upon your walls, Yerushalayim, I have appointed guardians. Says the Gemara, who are the guardians that God appointed over the walls of Yerushalayim? You got the answer. Elu Michael v'Gavriel. Michael and Gavriel are the two that are that guard the city of Yerushalayim. There's more duality or plurality in Yerushalayim. There is Yerushalayim Shel Mala, and there is Yerushalayim Shel Mata. There is a divine, a heavenly Yerushalayim, and there is the earthly Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will not enter Yerushalayim Shel Mala until Israel enters Yerushalayim Shel Mata. When we enter Yerushalayim here, then God enters Yerushalayim above. The city. There's a city. I don't know what a heavenly city looks like. No, Yerushalayim is the city. Bet HaMikdash is one thing. Yerushalayim is a separate thing. Yerushalayim is the city. And on the contrary, it's not referring to a Yerushalayim within the walls, because on the it's not so. The famous Nevuah of Zechariah, I think I may have mentioned that at times, you have to read through Zechariah. You have to read through Zechariah. I'll just give you a few of the psukim in the first chapter. In the first chapter of Zechariah, it says first of all that the Kamar Hashem so says God, Shavti li Yerushalayim berachamim, I have returned to Yerushalayim with mercy. Beiti baneba, my city will be built, my house will be built in her. Noam Hashem Tzakot says the God of hosts. Vekov inateh al Yerushalayim, and a line will be drawn over Yerushalayim. The line representing the construction of the city. Another pasuk. Kamar Hashem Tzakot says the God of hosts, Kin eiti li Yerushalayim ulitzion kin agedola. My zealousness for Tzion and Yerushalayim is very great. And furthermore, God says, O tefutzeno arai mitov, my city is going to spread out from goodness. V'nichama od Hashem et Tzion, and God is going to have mercy upon Tzion, uvachar od b'Yerushalayim, and he will choose Yerushalayim. But the pasuk that I wanted to get to is in chapter 2, where Zechariah sees a man going with a measuring, a rope with which to measure. So he asks him, Va'omar, and I said to the man that I saw in this vision, Omar Taholech, where are you going? Va'yomer Elai, and he said to me, Lomodet Yerushalayim, I'm going to measure Yerushalayim. Lirot kama rokba v'kama orka, I want to see how wide it is and how long. And then, two psukim later, it says, the Malach says, go run after that man with the measuring rod. Because tell him the following, Trazot teshev Yerushalayim, Meirov Adam ubehemav tocha. Yerushalayim is going to spread out beyond the walls, and there's going to be a major part of Yerushalayim that's going to be out in the open, because there are going to be so many people and so many animals, there won't be enough place within the walls. So on the contrary, the Yerushalayim la'atid, which obviously we're living in that kind of a Yerushalayim that's sprawling and spreading well beyond the walls. Later on, Zechariah is going to say, yes, there's going to be another wall. Ani eheyeh, God says, I am going to be chomat eish saviv. I am going to be a wall of fire. There's going to be a divine presence that's going to protect this city. And I will be the honor and glory of the city within. Later, Zechariah says, Hayitzion himalti. He talks to the Jews who are in Babel and he tells them, go flee to Tzion. Get out of Babel. Ho Tzion Himolti, Yoshevet Bad Babel. Those of you who are sitting in Babel, get out while the getting is good. Most probably, Zechariah obviously is not only talking to the Jews of Babel, he's saying to all Jews at all times, Ho Tzion Himolti, run and flee to Tzion. So there are all sorts of plurals in Yerushalayim. Plurals in Yerushalayim. Getting back to our two malachim over there, Gavriel and Michael, and Yehuda and Chezkiah. So ultimately, who's the one that makes the pshara between them? Who makes the compromise? God says it's like you and like you. In a sense, what is being the machloket of Shoham and Yashbei, Yosef or Binyamin, Chesed or Malchut, in a sense, is also the difference of opinion between Shem, the son of Noach, and Avraham. Each one of them sees the purpose of the city from a different point of view. Avraham is the one who sees that this is a city that has to represent the royal image of God, who is king of the world. Yesh mani lebirazo, there is a leader. Shem is the softer one over here, who sees it as the mellowing of personality. What's most fascinating is, in the Svirat HaOmer last night, the Svira for Yom Yerushalayim is Chesed Shebemalchut. I don't believe that it's just, well, coincidence that Yerushalayim was liberated and restored
the Klal Yisrael on the 28th day of Iyar, the day on the sphere that is Chesed Shebemalchut, because that's precisely what Yerushalayim represents according to Michael and Gabriel, according to Yehuda and Cheskia, and for that matter according to God himself. It is the composite of two, Yerushalayim. There is both Chesed and Malchut. There is Rachamim and there is Gevura. In a sense, I would say that the Rachamim and the Chesed is going to be the way in which God is going to relate to the Jewish people. The Din and the Malchut is the way in which He is going to relate to the peoples of the world. Yes? In Tehillim, famous chapter in Tehillim, chapter 122. I want to talk about chapter 122 in Tehillim. Shir HaMa'alot LeDavid, a song for David. Samachti, I was happy, Ba'omdim Li, when they said to me, Bet Hashem Nelech, we're going to go to the house of God. Omdot Hayu Ragleinu B'Sha'arayich Yerushalayim. Our feet stood in your gates, Yerushalayim. What kind of Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim HaBinuyah, a Yerushalayim that is rebuilt. Ki'ir Shechubra Lo Yachtov, a city that is joined together. Rafashim say, Chazal say, it's a city that joins all Jews together. We, of course, saw more than that. We saw a city that had been divided that was joined together. Here, Shechubra Lo Yachtov. Shesham Alu Shvatim, that's where the tribes went up. Shiftei Kov, the tribes of God. Eidut Li Yisrael, they bear testimony that we believe in God, Lahodot L'Shem Hashem, and to thank God. Kishama Yashu Kisot L'Mishpat, there were thrones for judgment, Kisot L'Beit David, the thrones of the house of David. Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim, seek the peace of Yerushalayim. Yishloyu Ohavoyich, let all those who love Yerushalayim, more than a peace, be composed. Yishloyu means shalva. Shalva, huh?
Tranquil.
Very good. Tranquility. That's even more. In other words, peace brings to tranquility. Yehi shalom b'chelech, let there be peace b'chelech. The chel of Yerushalayim is the outer wall, and let there be shalva ba'armino tayach. Tranquility within your homes. In other words, if there will be peace out at the walls, then there will be tranquility in the homes. Because of my brothers and my friends, I will speak for the peace of Yerushalayim. And two things. There's the city, and then there is the house of God. I will seek your good.
There is a Rashi here. I want to deal with one Rashi. Omdot Hayu Ragleinu B'Sha'arayich Yerushalayim. Our feet stood within your gates, Yerushalayim. I was so overcome with this pasuk. Last night, I went to the Kotel, I ended up there about 11:30, 12. So as we came into Shar HaAshba, I come walking with my wife, I said, we're standing right in the gate over here, we're going to say, Bondot Hayu Ragleinu B'Sha'arayich Yerushalayim. Okay, I felt better, and we walked further. Rashi says, Omdot Hayu Ragleinu B'Milchama, our feet stood B'Milchama B'Chol Makom, in war, in all places, B'Shvil Sha'arayich Yerushalayim, because of your gates, Yerushalayim, Sha'oskim B'Torah, where they are involved in the study of Torah. Let's analyze the pasuk, and then I'm going to explain where Rashi comes from and what Rashi's statement is based on what he means and what he may mean. The simple meaning of the pasuk is the literal one, the one that I fulfilled last night, standing within the gates of Yerushalayim. This was said by those who brought Bikurim On Shavuos they would say Omdot Hayur Adleinu Bisharayach Yerushalayim, when they would come up to Yerushalayim with their baskets of the first fruits. But the Gemara says, the Gemara in Masechta Markus says the following. Let me read the Gemara. Gemara says, "Mai dichtiv." What does it mean when it says, "Omdot hayu ragleinu b'sharayich Yerushalayim"? What is this referring to? So the Gemara says, "Omdot hayu ragleinu b'milchama." We were able to stand tall in battle. We were victorious in battle. Bishvil Yerushalayim, because in Yerushalayim they were studying Torah. Omdot hayu ragleinu, our feet stood bisharayich Yerushalayim. Remember, a bet, ber, can have a number of meanings. Ber can mean literally in. Ber can also mean because of. So on one level, of course, the simple meaning is omdot hayu ragleinu, our feet stood in your gates. Bisharayach can also mean because of your gates. Our feet stood firm elsewhere because of your gates. So the Gemara says, we were able to stand firm in battle in the merit, the schut of the Torah that is learned in Yerushalayim. But then there's a fascinating, a beautiful Gemara that I believe we have to make it better known than it is. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says, Il Malay David, if not for David, Lo Osa Yoav Milchoma, Yoav, the commander in chief, would not have been able to wage war. Vi Il Malay Yoav, and if not for Yoav, the commander in chief of the forces, Lo Osa David Batorah, David would not have been able to study Torah. Dichtiv, because it says, Vayihi David oseh mishpat utzdakah l'chol amo. David did justice and charity for all of his people. V'yoav al hatzofa, and Yoav was in charge of the army. Interesting two things that are put together in the pasuk. So the Gemara explains, what's the pasuk telling us? Matam, what is the reason that David is able to do mishpat utzdakah l'chol amo for all of his people? Because Yoav is out there standing guard over the country. And why is Yoav successful when he goes out to wage war? Because David is also mishpat utzdakah, because David is back home on the home front, and he's doing justice and charity to all of his people. What the Gemara of course is saying is that there is a mutual benefit that accrues to both sides. We need the home front, and we need the people at the front lines. We need those who study Torah and those who are going to go to the army. We need those who are going to do both. Each one needs the other. If the soldier is going to think that he is more important, or what usually happens, the one who thinks that his Torah alone is that which wins all wars, it's not so. You need them both. You need David and you need Yoav. You need Yoav and you need David. David could not have done mishpat utzdakah if not for a Yoav, if it would not have been for a Yoav who was out there. What I believe the Gemara is saying is that quite often at crucial moments in history, Klal Yisrael is thrown together all in one basket, and we're really interrelated, inextricably intertwined. We are interdependent. We need one another, but I don't think we're always that ready to acknowledge the extent to which we need one another. Everybody sees their own contribution as being the only contribution, the only meaningful contribution. If everybody would be sitting and learning Torah, we wouldn't need an army. I don't know, listen, if we're not, I don't believe that. David given a fine Talmud Chacham, with a fine, fine Jew, David, and he needed a Yoav. Ilmale Yoav, if not for Yoav, David would not have been able to do tzedakah umishpat l'chol amal. I believe, yes. Let's conclude. There are two other insights, I believe, into this. We said, first of all, the simple meaning of the pasuk is, yes, that we are zeichet to stand within your gates. We stood there. The Gemara goes on to say that we were able to stand in war because of your gates, Yerushalayim, because they're studying Torah in Yerushalayim. And then, of course, I brought the Gemara that says that both need, they each need one another. But Rashi here seems to add a number of words. Omdot hayu ragleinu, Rashi says, Omdot hayu ragleinu, our feet stood bimilchoma, in war, bichol makom, in all places, because of your gates, Yerushalayim. So, the women of Har Nof, and of course you're invited to join them, the women of Har Nof, a number of evenings a week, they stand a silent vigil with candles in their hands in front or across the street facing number 26, 28 HaKablan. Oh yes, 28. That corresponds to Chav Chet Iyar, the 28th day of Iyar. Kach, it happens to be the home. In other words, they stand Bachutz because the Sar HaPnim is Bifnim. Yes, because we're Bachutz and he's Bifnim. It's the home of, should have two bleeps on the tape, the home of the Sar HaPnim, Hasar Aryeh Deri. Okay? I passed by two nights ago to drop off my wife, who also dutifully joined the silent vigil. It's a very, there's something very moving about it. There's a certain feeling. You just see all of these women standing there, a number of signs and candles, just so they my problem was I went by, so somebody said, come on, Brother Cole, say a few words. So I happened to be, as I was driving there, I was thinking, I didn't tell them, I was thinking of this Rashi. The Rashi was bothering me. Omdot hayu ragleinu b'shaarayich Yerushalayim. Our feet stood in your gates, Yerushalayim. Says Rashi, b'milchoma, our feet stood in war, b'chol makom, in all places because of Yerushalayim. Said Rashi may also mean something else. Wherever Jews wage war, wherever the battle is, it's ultimately the battle for Yerushalayim. Make no mistake, any territorial compromise on the Golan is going to endanger Yerushalayim. And when they say they want the Golan, you know what they say, what they really mean? They want Yerushalayim. When they say they want Yehuda v'Shomron, you know what they really want? They want Yerushalayim. The real prize is Yerushalayim. Wherever we wage war, on dot hayu ragleinu, wherever our feet stand in battle, b'milchama b'chol makom, it's because of Sha'arayich Yerushalayim. They want Sha'arayich Yerushalayim. After I said it, I got this week's Time magazine, where they have an exclusive interview with the president of Iran, Rafsanjani. He doesn't speak about Yerushalayim. He doesn't have to speak about Yerushalayim. He says quite clearly, if all the 4 million Arab refugees, Palestinians, cannot come back, then there's nothing to talk about. I mean, did this, I mean, just because they want to give up a little bit in the Golan or a little bit in Yehuda v'Shomron, I mean, this is meaningless. I mean, this is, that's not even openers. That's not even, in other words, all of the concessions that the Rabbinic government, they didn't even consider that. I mean, the real thing is the return of 4 million Palestinian refugees. That's what it and what it really means is we want Yerushalayim. We want Yerushalayim. That's really what we want. And anybody who thinks otherwise is making a mistake. And David HaMelech understood it, that the struggle every place was the struggle for Yerushalayim. Omdot hayurot leinu, whenever or wherever, bechol makom, that our feet stand in battle. It's not a battle for that place alone. It's not only a struggle for the Golan or for Yehuda v'Shomron. The struggle is for Sha'arayich Yerushalayim. As I was discussing this pasuk and the Rashi with my son Menachem, he says he has another pshat in the Rashi. Omdot hayu ragleinu, our feet, we were able to stand up on our feet with pride because of your gates, Yerushalayim. Everybody's aware of the fact that the establishment of the state of Israel meant that the Jew may ashpot from the very depths, Yarim Evyon. Jews were able to raise their heads once again in the world. Chofchet Iyar, the liberation of Yerushalayim, 6 day war, we all walked around like we were absolute giants. Omdot hayu ragleinu, we were able to stand up on our feet because of b'melchoma, in every battle, b'chomo, wherever we were, because of Yerushalayim. It's no secret that the whole awakening of Soviet Jewry was clearly and directly the result of the 6 day war. Omdot hayu ragleinu, Jews stood up and they walked around like they were giants throughout the world because of Sha'arayich Yerushalayim, because of your gates, Yerushalayim. So that there are a lot of meanings to this Rashi, very, very powerful meanings. Obviously, we who are zeichet to be living in this great city, and there are times that we have to remind ourselves, and you know, have to pinch ourselves, that we are indeed living here. This is the only and the real holy city of all, and a reawakening and rekindling of that own feeling, how fortunate we are that we are living here, and it should express itself in certain ways. I don't know, I always feel that people should be very careful not to dirty Yerushalayim. I can't drop a piece of paper on the streets of Yerushalayim. I think one should feel like this is the living room. This is the living room, the divine presence. If one is able to get into that kind of a mode of feeling, it may affect you in other ways. You know, it would of course mean that we're going to have to change a lot of conduct. We'll need a Shem Ben Noach to do something about the conduct. How's somebody going to eat papitas? What are they, huh? What are papitas? Sunflower seeds? Huh? Sunflower seeds. Look, there's a minute, you know, you walk through the streets and you have to know how to spire ice. Yeah, you have to know how to spire ice. But in the end, of course, it comes down to on the streets of Yerushalayim. Omdot hayu ragleinu b'sharayach Yerushalayim, ir shechubra lo yachdos. So we talked in total, what we talked about, the dual nature of the city. Shem and Avram, Sholem and Yireh, Michael and Gavriel, Yehuda and Chizkiah, Chesed and Malchus, Rachamim and Din, all of the many aspects of the city. The city is dual in everything except one. In only one area, it's not. And that's geographically. Geographically, it's one and not two, and that's what David HaMelech says. Omdot hayu ragleinu b'sharayich Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim habnuya kiir shechubra la yachdav. Geographically, it's one, cannot be divided. In meaning and in significance, all sorts of pluralities. It's Yerushalayim. Okay, so Chag Sameach.